Judges chapter 20. We've been looking at this third section of the book for several weeks now. Remember, the first section deals with God's people's departure from Him. And then that second section deals with the oppression that was a result of their departing from God. And then we've been looking at this third and last section of Judges where we see a second result, and that is corruption, inward corruption, idolatry, and now sins of adultery in chapter 19 and following. We've been considering thus far for the last couple weeks this Levite and his concubine, her having been abused. He has cut her up in pieces and sent the 12 pieces to the tribes. And we pick up the story now in chapter 20, verse 1. We'll read through verse 25. In this section, we see a general assembly of the tribes convened in verses 1 through 11. Then we find the tribe of Benjamin appearing in the defense of the criminals, unwilling to see justice done in verses 12 through 17. And then in verses 18 through 25, we see the defeat of Israel in the first two battles as they seek to go up against Benjamin. Well, let us hear God's word. Judges chapter 20. Verses 1 through 25. Then all the children of Israel went out, and the congregation was gathered together as one man from Dan even to Beersheba with the land of Gilead unto the Lord in Mizpah. And the chief of all the people, even of all the tribes of Israel, presented themselves in the assembly of the people of God, 400,000 footmen that drew sword. Now the children of Benjamin heard that the children of Israel were gone up to Mizpah. Then said the children of Israel, "Tell us, how was this wickedness?" And the Levite, the husband of the woman that was slain, answered and said, "I came into Gibeah that belongeth to Benjamin, I and my concubine, to lodge. And the men of Gibeah rose up against me and beset the house round about upon me by night and thought to have slain me. And my concubine have they forced that she is dead. And I took my concubine and cut her in pieces and sent her throughout all the country of the inheritance of Israel, for they have committed lewdness and folly in Israel. Behold, ye are all children of Israel. Give here your advice and counsel." And all the people arose as one man, saying, "We will not any of us go to his tent, neither will we any of us turn into his house. But now this shall be the thing which we will do to Gibeah. We will go up by lot against it. And we will take 10 men of 100 throughout all the tribes of Israel, and 100 of 1,000, and 1,000 out of 10,000, to fetch victual for the people, that they may do, when they come to Gibeah of Benjamin, according to all the folly that they have wrought in Israel." So all the men of Israel were gathered against the city, knit together as one man. And the tribes of Israel sent men through all the tribe of Benjamin, saying, "What wickedness is this that is done among you? Now therefore deliver us the men, the children of Belial, which are in Gibeah, that we may put them to death, and put away evil from Israel." But the children of Benjamin would not hearken to the voice of their brethren, the children of Israel. But the children of Benjamin gathered themselves together out of the cities unto Gibeah, to go out to battle against the children of Israel. And the children of Benjamin were numbered at that time out of the cities 26,000 men that drew sword, beside the inhabitants of Gibeah, which were numbered 700 chosen men. Among all this people, there were 700 chosen men, left-handed. Every one could sling stones at an hair's breadth and not miss. And the men of Israel, beside Benjamin, were numbered 400,000 men that drew sword. All these were men of war. And the children of Israel arose and went up to the house of God, and asked counsel of God, and said, "Which of us shall go up first to the battle against the children of Benjamin?" And the Lord said, "Judah shall go up first." And the children of Israel rose up in the morning and encamped against Gibeah. And the men of Israel went out to battle against Benjamin. And the men of Israel put themselves in array to fight against them at Gibeah. And the men of Benjamin came forth out of Gibeah and destroyed down to the ground of the Israelites that day 22,000 men. And the people, the men of Israel, encouraged themselves and set their battle again in array in the place where they put themselves in array the first day. And the children of Israel went up and wept before the Lord until even, and asked counsel of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go up again to battle against the children of Benjamin, my brother?" And the Lord said, "Go up against him." And the children of Israel came near against the children of Benjamin the second day, and Benjamin went forth against them out of Gibeah the second day, and destroyed down to the ground the children of Israel again, 18,000 men. All these drew the sword. That ends the reading of God's holy and inspired word. Just a few comments on this section. As I mentioned in the first section, we have a general assembly of the tribes convened. They have a convocation in verses 1 and 2. It appears like a democratic assembly of the Greeks. That is because there's no king in the land. There's no established eldership and hierarchy of courts. And so all the fighting men of Israel gathered together. 400,000 footmen, we're told. We see in verse 3 that there's a summons. The tribe of Benjamin is called to account and to deal with this matter. We also have an examination of the charge, or the crime charged, in verses 4 through 7. They ask this man what's taken place, and he describes the events. And then in verses 8 through 11, we have this resolution of those gathered together. We see their zeal against what they call lewdness and folly in Israel. They're prepared to apply the death penalty to these men. These men deserving the death penalty, they're prepared to do just that and to cast the wickedness out of Israel, to get rid of this judgment that would be upon Israel if they failed to do this. We also see that they say, "We're not going to our homes. We're going to stay in our tents." In other words, they're so concerned about righting this public issue that they're not going to go back to their own personal duties until this thing is resolved. That's how serious they take this matter. We don't live in a day where issues like this are taken seriously. We also see that they send a large number, 10% of their body, back get provisions. They realize this is going to take a little bit longer. We thought we were just coming to court, and the Benjamites haven't shown up. We don't have the guilty party to be able to exact this penalty against them. So now we're going to have to go to war. We're going to send 10 men back to get victuals, to get food supplies here for us, because we're going to be here for a little while. And we've got to go to battle. We also see their unanimity in verse 8. They're of one man, we're told. They're all committed to this. They're knit together. Then we see in the second section the Benjamites appearing in defense of the criminals in verses 12 through 17. There's a fair and just demand. Hey, bring these men to us. They're part of your family. But we see the Benjamites' obstinacy in verses 13 through 17. They're prepared to patronize this wickedness. They're prepared with 26,000 men to try to go against 400,000 men. And they're prepared to do so without a righteous cause. I mean, this is very foolish on their part. It's sinful and it's foolish, and yet that's what they try to do. And yet how often is that exactly what happens when sin is in somebody's camp or in somebody's family, that the family in pride is willing to try to deny it and go against everything that's obvious and be unwilling to bring the matter even to court. If these men were innocent, why wouldn't they bring them to court and have the case heard in open court? So at some level, they're already acknowledging the guilt. They're just not prepared to see the punishment meted out upon those that are guilty. And then we have in the third section the defeat of Israel in the first two battles. Before the first engagement, they asked counsel of God. That's good. But they ask God who should go up first, and God says Judah should go up first. They don't stick 400,000 on this 26,000. They decide we'll go up by tribes, by lot, and God tells them, I think, by a lot. And no evidence he spoke from heaven. It says they did it by lot. But they took that as God's word. They understood that to be God's decision. Judah would go up first. 22,000 men are lost. Apparently no quarters given. In other words, they kill them to the death. They're not taking prisoners. There's no prisoners here. 22,000 are killed. Before the second engagement, they weep and seek counsel of the Lord again. This time they don't ask who should go next, but they ask, should we even go? They're starting to wonder, 400,000 against 26,000, we just lost 22,000 men. Maybe we shouldn't have entered into this engagement. God says, no, go. So they ask God, even though they just lost over 5% of their men, they're prepared to go back because God says to go. And they go. And they lose 18,000. Now they've lost 40,000 men. They've lost 10% of those fighting. What do we learn? Matthew Henry says we learn four things about the Israelites who have a good cause losing this many men thus far. He says, first, God's judgments, God's providences are a great deep. Sometimes you can't understand what God's doing. You know He's doing it for His glory and for our good, but it's hard to comprehend. He says, secondly, we learn the race is not to the swift. It's not always that the bigger army wins, is it? It's not always that the best army or the better army wins. Sometimes wickedness wins the day. Thirdly, he says, God designed hereby to correct Israel for their sins. His thought is that quite possibly Israel is being chastened for their own sins. Yes, they're doing right and seeking to bring the Benjamites to account, and particularly these men of Gibeah that have done this wickedness. But Israel had allowed Micah and this idolatry. They had allowed this idolatry to continue in Gibeah where they were worshiping God by images, Micah's images, with a false Levite in charge, false priest. So they knew that, and they were allowing that. Not in Gibeah, excuse me, in Dan. But then also he says, fourthly, he says, good causes sometimes suffer defeat in the early going. Sometimes when God's people choose the right path, sometimes God doesn't make that path easy to start. In other words, He wants to see if we're going to be faithful in the tough work over the long haul. And so Israel has to pay a dear price to bring these people to justice. But they're prepared to do it. We'll pick up the story next week, Lord willing, in verse 26 and following.